Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I just want to share a few things with you. That's all. No bullying. Just share a few things with you. Giannis Antetokounmpo, who has his Milwaukee Bucks up 3-2 on the Phoenix Suns and one home win away from the first championship in Bucks history, or in 50 years for the Milwaukee Bucks franchise. The first since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Oscar Robertson did it. How's that for some big names? He's averaging 32.3 points, 13 rebounds, 5.5 dimes, 1.5 steals, 1.2 blocks on 61% shooting. Ryan, Giannis is the only player ever in the 74-year history of the National Basketball Association to average 30, 10, and 5 on 60% shooting in the NBA Finals. Giannis is getting busy, period, the end. And yet, I turn on my television and I hear people saying he's a Robin. He's not a Batman. Chris Middleton is the Batman. I turn on my television and I hear people saying he can't shoot. He can't hit free throws. He can't hit mid-range. He can't hit threes. I turn on my television and I see one Ryan Hollins saying Giannis ain't all that. And here's what I want to say, Ryan. Why in the world can we stop selling Giannis short? That's all I'm asking. I'm not asking you to declare him the best player in the world. I'm not asking anyone to declare him the GOAT. I am saying this dude is balling. Can we give him his propers?
No. Here's the thing. Guys like you oversell it. If I'm not mistaken, I'm not going to incriminate you. I'm going to let you. You called him the GOAT. You said he's on the way to being the greatest of all time, Chris.
No. What, did you hear that on the Herd today?
I just saw a little bit clickbaitish, and it was like, I just saw GOAT, Giannis, and your name in it. And I'm like, yo.
Here's what I said.
Okay, yeah. Well, what did you say?
Every now and again, right? Every generation or so, there's a player or two that we see has GOAT potential. In football, in his second year, I said Pat Mahomes has GOAT potential. Not saying he's going to be the GOAT, right? When LeBron was coming into the league, you know what were we saying? GOAT potential. Doesn't mean he's going to do it. Just means it's within him. You know, it's possible. It's within the realm of possibility. And you know we don't say that about everybody. We don't say, you know, Kobe was great. But I don't remember anybody saying he might end up being the GOAT.
It's because he came after Michael.
Well, I'm just saying. Durant, awesome. I don't hear anybody saying he might be the GOAT. Or end up, you know, he potentially could be the GOAT one day.
Giannis
is far from the GOAT.
Are you putting Giannis over Kobe and KD?
No, what I'm saying is potentially, he could be better than them. Potentially.
Chris,
he's not there yet.
Chris, it's very hard. Here's the deal, and we'll both agree to this. It is very hard for a non-shooter to become not just a solid shooter, but a knockdown shooter. Because you're asking him to be a knockdown. And if he's
he won't be a knockdown shooter. I'm with you on that.
Let me find like a I want to say Paul Pierce, but no, that's too good. I want to say KD's definitely too good. Kobe's
He won't become a knockdown shooter.
Kawhi? Well, Kawhi's kind of a knockdown.
Kawhi's got the mid-range. How about LeBron? LeBron's not a great shooter.
If he's a LeBron shooter, we can put him in those conversations. But here's the deal. LeBron at his age was a much better shoot. Giannis is just bad. So if we can all agree if the jump shot was there, but at this point it's kind of irreversible. Like, he'll improve.
He's only 26.
He'll improve, but by the time he really improves, the athleticism won't be there. You know what I'm saying? But I'll throw the P word out. It's just unlikely. Chris, he's shooting. Listen, I think he's made what, if I'm not mistaken, 1 3-pointer in the finals?
But see, hear me out, because I'm with you. I'm with you.
And you don't seem like you're with me, because you put respect on his dad. He got a competition, man.
Well, I am saying put respect on his dad. Look, here's all I'm saying. I went into the finals.
Okay.
Saying if Giannis wins this championship, he still won't be the best player in the world. Stop it. I was saying
cool.
all that.
Cool.
But what I've seen in these finals, and I'd be shocked if you say differently, is that he's playing to his strengths. The reason we harped on Giannis' inability to shoot jumpers is because he's out there shooting jumpers.
He's out there shooting jumpers.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't remember seeing Hakeem shoot threes and 20-footers, but he didn't do it.
Hey, but
he killed you with what he did.
Hakeem would have made them, too. Hakeem knocked him down. He knocked down threes.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm saying not in these finals. Maybe it's the competition. I don't know. But in these finals, Giannis is playing to his strengths now. He's not showcasing his weaknesses. I don't care that Kareem didn't shoot 20-footers.
That's what I don't like you're doing, Chris. I don't like you doing that, because when you say Kareem skyhook and then you say Giannis, you're putting them on the same plane, and they're not. Because Kareem skyhook worked against everybody.
Saying Giannis couldn't do this against everybody?
Not a snowball's chance, Chris.
Who couldn't he do this against?
Kawhi? 32. Bam Adebayo?
Can the dude grow? Can he improve? Can he mature?
He ain't matured that much.
Was playing in that first round, was he not?
And their team was the team was garbage. The wings didn't show up. They didn't make it to the playoffs.
Same team as last year.
They were still in the bubble, dog. And they had a bad season. It wasn't like they just stung in the blood. They are who we thought they were. They had a bad season. Here's the deal, man. Giannis in 2021 is the same Giannis he was in 2020 and in 2019,
what?
Chris.
What?
He's the same. In fact, he might have got worse.
What?
He was an MVP. In the last year, he was an MVP and Defensive Player of the Year, and he got none of that.
Well, he wasn't. You know he wasn't going to win any of that until he won a championship.
But here's my point.
People were like, yo, you keep doing it in the regular season and fizzling in the playoffs.
Nah, don't make it. He's the same player. You know what he's got? He better thank his lucky stars. Instead of you riding Giannis's coattail, you need to be talking about Jrue Holiday.
Oh, stop it.
You need –
oh,
what?
Stop. Can I get two nice shooting games in a row from Jrue Holiday,
before
I throw flowers all over him?
Chris Paul's lunch. He had his sandwich. He had his –
Chris Paul had 21-11 and one turnover. What, 10 points in the fourth quarter.
And Jrue Holiday had 27-13 and three steals, and one of them with the cojones on the line.
He played nicely. I'm just saying.
Hold on, Chris. Real quick. Jrue Holiday had one of the greatest steals that we've ever seen in NBA. One of the greatest steals in NBA Finals history. We can say two-way performance. If you ask me who Jrue Holiday was, give me the steal with the cojones on the line. Throw the lob. Wow. Two-way player. Come on, man. He ate Chris Paul's lunch. He had his Lunchable, the Snickers. He had the Doritos and the Capri Sun, dog.
You are tripping.
You need to talk about Jrue Holiday. You talking about this GOAT potential, dude. Yeah, this is the same Giannis in 2019, man.
This dude, I can't believe you are saying that. Cannot we see progression? We saw progression with LeBron. We saw progression with Michael. You're not going to give Giannis any. We saw progression with Shaq.
You have mentioned Giannis with Kareem, Michael.
Did Kareem? You bringing up Jrue Holiday Did Kareem ever name me the championship Kareem won without Oscar Robertson or Magic Johnson?
Yeah, but I want you to acknowledge that. He's the same player.
I don't think he's the same player.
I
think he's mentally tougher now. I do. I think he's learned from his mistakes. He fizzled. I give you. Kawhi and the Raptors exposed him. Bam and the Heat exposed him. But this year, he's doing the exposing.
Giannis knows. Giannis knows there's one guy to guard him. It's DeAndre Ayton, and that dude can't get in foul trouble. And you know who you should be crediting? The coaching staff. It's like, hey, dog, the last 2 years, Giannis' ball ain't worked. You know what? Game three, why about you pass the ball to Jrue Holiday? How about you get Middleton involved?
But he got to do it. What seven-footer have you seen throwing dimes like that? Playing a nasty floor game. On the perimeter, not trying to run through the wall, but picking dudes apart, hitting Pat Connaughton for threes in the corner.
No!
Hitting Brooke Lopez under the basket for cutting layups and dunks.
Chris, you think he picked them apart? He had six assists. Pump the brakes.
Hold on. When you're 7 feet tall and you give me 30 and 15, six assists is nice.
Hey, listen. His assists... Six assists and pick you apart are two different things. What Giannis
did... Hold on, game four, 26, 14, and eight dimes.
Let me tell you...
Oh, it's 58% shooting.
Didn't they lose that game? No, that's the game they won. Let me tell you, that game was nasty, by the way. That wasn't a great offensive output, by the way. That was 17 offensive rebounds with a story of that game, not his eight assists. But here's the deal where Giannis gets his assists in delay action. So for those who don't know what delay action is, it's where you give your big man, Giannis, the ball at the top of the key, and he goes left or he goes right, and then he goes into a dribble handoff or a screen. And it's not really an assist, but it's kind of you know what I'm saying? That's what he's doing. So it's not like he's coming off the pick and roll, Chris. He's setting the screen or throwing it and then going. And he's excellent transition. Don't get me wrong. This is why we call Giannis the freak, Chris, because correct me if I'm wrong. It's odd. You don't feel comfortable calling him a big man. And we also don't feel calling him a guard.
If he keeps playing like this, I will.
He ain't got no choice. That's my point. He's the freak.
I'm on Team Hollins if Giannis is going to be running the point 60% of the time and shooting mid-range shots and threes. I'm on Team Hollins. But if he's going to play like this, where he's going to dominate the interior, and then when he is on the outside, he's not going to force jumpers, he's going to have nice passes. I get it. Okay, he's not LeBron James. I get that with the passes. But for a seven-footer on the perimeter, he's something nice.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There were some people tweeting. One dude, Cuffs the Legend, who's fairly well known in the basketball world, he tweeted that this series between the Phoenix Suns and Milwaukee Bucks is the best. Hold on, I lost it. He said it is the best NBA Finals that we've seen since 2016. Of course, that's when LeBron and the Cavs came back from the 3-1 deficit and beat Golden State before KD got there. I just hope we get a game seven, Cuff says. Easy Money Sniper, also known as Kevin Durant, responds, Warriors-Cavs 2017? You know, like, did you forget about how great that finals was? And Cuffs the Legend responds to KD, unbalanced stacked decks are automatically disqualified. KD shoots back. Perfectly even matchup, fam, top to bottom. Here's what I want to ask you. I don't even need to discuss whether or not this is the best final since 2016, because to me, that's evident. 2017 was a mismatch. Golden State wins 4-1 because Kevin Durant's there. 20, or was it 4-0? What was it, Rob?
4-1.
4-1.
Yeah,
then the next year, was
up.
It the next year, 2018, when they swept them?
Hold
2018?
On, 2017.
Yeah, they swept them in 2018. 2019, of course, Kawhi wins for Toronto, but, you know, it's injury laden. KD's out. Klay Thompson ends up getting hurt. And then last year, of course, a mismatch with Miami making it through the pixie dust in the bubble, somehow getting to the finals, and the Lakers ran over them. So this is definitely the best finals. It's a fantastic finals, and it's the best we've seen since 2016. Cuffs the Legend is absolutely right. But what I want to say, Ryan, is what do you make of KD? I mean, KD is a smart basketball. We know he's a smart player, but he also is a student of the game. KD, you know, knows the history of game and studies the players and of yesteryear and today. And, you know, he does his little rankings and all that stuff. So is he... he knows 2017 was a freaking mismatch. So is this him trying to justify his championships in Golden State once more? What is this?
This is Kevin Durant not having any respect for Giannis, flat out. This is him looking at the Bucks versus the Suns and going, dog, this was going to be my easiest. No, well, nah, I can't say the easiest, but
yeah,
this was
going
to be a breeze.
Another easy one.
This is going to be a breeze. The Suns? Who's going to guard me? Mikal Bridges? Kevin Durant? He's so mad. Why? Because here's the thing. It would have been the monkey off his back. It would have said, hey,
well,
Kevin.
Yeah,
this
you mean
is
if they
your-
remained injured.
Well, no, it would have been, hey.
Because it ain't going to be no monkey off his back with James Harden and Kyrie Irving.
What I'm saying is, if he won it, no, it's different. As stacked as that team was, you still look at it, and I know it's haters out there, my guy Max Kellerman, that would have said, hey, and you look at it and you say, that was Steph's team. You still look, no matter what KD did, you're like, you know what, that was Steph's team.
Agreed.
You look at this with Kyrie and James, even if they were healthy, if it was just one of them, whatever, and you would have said, you know what, this is KD's team. This KD knows that I don't know if I can say they dropped. It just wasn't meant to be, but it was the perfect time for him to solidify and put a stamp on his legacy, man, because there are still question marks on saying that KD, that was Stephen Clay's deal and not yours. And he's frustrated watching. That's what I think it's about, Chris. And I think he looks at Giannis and it's like, dog, you ain't better than me. You know you ain't better than me. You just fell into a good situation. And we saw the performance that he had that left it undeniable, Chris. And I hope you don't, Chris, I hope you don't question. It left it undeniable that he is the best and baddest man on the planet. He picked up where he left off, because when he pulled that Achilles that year, he was the best player on the planet. I was covering a series, Chris, for the Clippers, and he was out of control. After he had to let us know, I'm Kevin Durant. You know, I'm still Kevin Durant. That's when he went off. And Chris, you know, I think you answered it already, but me and you both have covered the NBA Finals for now. I haven't done it as long as you have, but it was boring, man. These finals were tough. We were trying to create excitement
when
for
Golden
a while.
State was there. Yeah. When KD was in Golden State. No doubt about it. Look, KD, and you know this, Ryan, KD respects skills. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like, that's why he and I think he and Kyrie are similar in that regard.
Very true.
I think they look at each other and like, yo, look at that handle. Kyrie got the handle. Kyrie can pass. Kyrie got the J. There's nothing he can't do. And Kyrie looks at KD, 7-footer, can shoot as well as anybody, can handle, can pass, can drive. Like, that's what they like. They aren't, I don't think, and that's why I do agree with you on KD's feelings on Giannis. I think he respects him at a certain level.
He showed Giannis this
but
year.
But Giannis don't do it with skills, just with mostly skills. Like, Giannis is a freak athlete who has skills, but they're not like elite, you know what I'm saying? Elite skills. A big part of his success is his athleticism and size. It's like people, it's kind of like the difference between Shaq and Olajuwon. A lot of people, you look at Olajuwon, you just say, man, dude had mad skills, mm-hmm. right? And Shaq, yes, he's got skills, but a big part of his success, a huge part, was just his size, strength, and athleticism. And so I think that's how KD looks at, you know, the game. And so, am I right about that?
Not yet. No, you're right. And I'll tell you why I know Kyrie feels that way, too. I played with Kyrie his first year over in Cleveland. And, you know, one of the summers after that, I was on a Clipper. We played pickup ball. And I remember Kyrie was just scoring so – I mean, step back, pow, pow, pow. He was doing his thing. And we were playing. And he threw me the ball and was like, hey, like, go get busy. And I'm like – you know, normally I got you, but I got to be on, dog. Like, I ain't, like, let's go pick and roll or something. Let's play some elbow game. Like, you know, let's play, set me up, Kyrie. But his whole, he almost looked at me like, huh? Like, all right, your turn too. Go, like,
right,
dog, I
right.
got to be feeling it before I cook like that. Like, I wasn't in my bag yet. Kyrie bag, he's stuck in the bag. So,
right.
No, as far as a skill set standpoint, you know, I absolutely agree. And I don't want to fire this up again. But I'm gonna throw it out there. I don't want to dig into it. That's part of it. In terms of Kyrie, that's where Kyrie had his moments with LeBron.
No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I think, and I've talked about this with Nick Wright on First Things First. I think KD. Remember, didn't KD have a list out a while ago, a few years ago, when LeBron wasn't in his top five or something like that?
I can't remember specifically.
I don't want to speak on that. Factually yet, but I think I remember something like that. Then he kind of corrected it. But I do think, I don't know if this is the fact. I think, yes, they respect LeBron's game and all that. But I think, look, LeBron ain't the shooter that they are. He doesn't have the handle, obviously, of Kyrie. Nobody does. But, like, I think they look at a lot of LeBron's success for all his court vision, great passing ability, is size and athleticism too.
I give you this, Chris. It's no different than with Michael Jordan. I'm not going to say their names, but I was talking against a guy who played in the finals against them and just said we had him locked up and he just happened to hit the shot and he was small and we would post him and all this and that. And the respect wasn't there. And we've heard Isaiah Thomas.
The respect for Jordan wasn't there?
The respect for Jordan is not, and still to this day ain't there the same way because – you know, when you play against a guy, you're like, well, you know, you had 30, but I had 20 or I had 32. And they look at Mike like that. And Isaiah Thomas has a leg to stand on because he's like, I dominated you, Mike. You got good when we left. He doesn't have the same respect for Mike.
Now you just getting all beside yourself.
No, I'm saying I'm giving perspective when you played against.
Mike did it with skills. I mean, granted, he had
athleticism. No, what I'm saying is, When sometimes two great players compete against each other, they don't have that respect that we see from the outside. I'm not saying I agree with the point, Chris. I'm saying it's no different than it took Paul, and I played with Paul, a while to have a different respect for Kobe because Kobe really struggled guarding Paul. Paul is 6'8".
Paul Pierce.
Yeah. So when you compete against a guy.
LeBron. I mean, Paul, you know, relationship with LeBron.
Listen, Paul and KG didn't get and you know, this is why Paul kind of pawed me because Paul was the one who also didn't have LeBron in his deal. And it's like after we lost and we were up 3-2 in those Eastern Conference Finals, KG and Paul both came and was like, he's a king, dog. We got to give him his respect. They both said that in the locker room after that game. And I heard it. We got to give him his respect. Now, where it sparked up from there to where Paul took him out the top five and all. But when you play against a guy and you're like, well, he may have got his, but he can't guard me on this end. Or the ball just bounces a certain way. Those dudes, it's a lack of respect there. And to bring it full circle, that's why KD feels that way about Bron to a deal.
But here, all right, let's really bring this thing full circle to where we started. I see, here's where I disagree. I do think, look, KD gets, we all know how great KD is, all right? He, top 15 player of all time. He's got the championship monkey off his back. Even as people look kind of side-eyed at those championships, they still know how great he is, and he's got the rings, and you can't say nothing about it. But where we differ is if Brooklyn wins next year, let's say they're fully healthy,
mm-hmm.
does that really get them? I mean, come on, man. I can argue that that team is more talented than Golden State was.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, I don't think it's clear cut. I think Kevin Durant is trying to make the most of what he has. And I think he's also smart enough to realize that if I just go to a team with really good role players, at some point, I'm going to lose. You know, it's not going to work out.
I believe this, Ryan. And I look, KD is awesome. But KD has yet to prove he can lead a team to a championship.
It's true.
You see, right? See,
he didn't
have
to be a leader in Golden State.
No.
And that's not disrespect. That was just not his role.
Right, right. He was the best player on the team. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't, and all that. Oh, he busted the jumper in LeBron's eye. Look, KD played great. But you know this, man. They had Steph, Clay, Draymond on the floor. Cleveland was worried about Steph and Clay.
You couldn't leave.
It's easier to get yours when you got them two dudes on the floor. And so I mean, look, we all thought that's why he went to Brooklyn with Kyrie. If he does that with Kyrie, people going to give him his love. Okay, he led that team. But now Harden, now if Harden shrinks, and I'm just going to throw it because we don't have much time to get into this.
Mm.
I want quick answer from you. Game 6, right?
Mm-hmm.
Against the Bucks.
Yep.
James Harden in the overtime, to me, gave up all his superstar swag and was just like took on the persona of a role player. Just giving it to KD at half court and getting on the side and saying, go do something. Was that more the hamstring or was that Harden shrinking a little bit in the big moment like we've seen in the past at times?
Nah, it was both. Because he's skilled enough to play in slow motion. It was both, Chris.
Right.
Because he had a wide open one that he didn't really want.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We're going to have to see how this plays out over time.
Yeah.
No, I love Harden. I think Harden is awesome. I ain't going to get my rankings right now, but he's the fifth best two guard ever in my book. And he can rise higher if he can start winning.
Ooh.
But, all right, I'm going to throw this. Yeah,
Chris.
That's right. I said, MJ, with quickness, MJ, Kobe, Jerry West, D. Wade, and James Harden.
Ray Allen?
James Harden.
Ray Allen, Mr. Big Shot?
James Harden.
Ray hit the shot.
He better than James Harden?
He hit the shot. He clutched.
Ray's bad. Ray's up there.
Who would you rather have? You rather have Jesus with the game on the line? You better call on Jesus.
This ain't no Shuttlesworth. Movie. Ray was obviously a better shooter, but give me Harden.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Our next guest, you remember him as an all-pro wide receiver, but now he has made quite the name for himself as a personality, a broadcaster. He is the co-host of First Things First. I go at it with him every morning on Fox Sports 1. My man, Brandon Marshall. What up, bruh?
Hey, Chris B., what's up, man?
It's great to have you on. And we got Ryan Hollins with us and for Rob. Now, look. You have been, and this one of the areas I respect you so much in, you have really been outspoken about mental health challenges for athletes, for yourself, for other athletes in general. And I know this isn't a quote-unquote mental health issue, but still, you want to get into the psyche of the team and all that. So what if you were called in, like if you had a chance to say something to the Phoenix Suns tonight about tomorrow's game 6, what would it be?
It would literally be, I would say, let's look down the bench. Look at the other team. You see Giannis. That's the example, right? You can't get too high. You can't get too low. Look at Devin Booker. Devin Booker, you know, he had a terrible, was it a game two? And then he had that bounce back game three, right? Like, you have to really lock in and not get too low and start pressing. You can't press. So I would literally just say, guys, just be yourself and be okay with the outcome. Giannis talked about that months ago, and people thought he was crazy. Like, oh, my goodness, this is counterculture to being an athlete. Like, we talked about him on our show. But that is the perfect place to be. It's like, don't worry about that. Just go out there and do your job. Like, these are professional athletes. So I would highlight Giannis. I would even highlight Booker. You know, he could have easily went the other way and started to press. And when you press, you know, you start making more mistakes. You got to go out there and say, you know what? I'm taking one play at a time, one quarter at a time, and this is the only game. And whatever matters, like, it's cool. I gave it my all. And so Monty seems to have the perfect tone when it comes to that because, you know, he's not a guy to get too high, too low. So he's the perfect person to deliver this message. Because at the end of the day, like, if you really look at it, like, these teams, like, I'm one that says that the Suns are a better team. You go back to March 1st, they are the hottest team in the NBA. And then you have the Atlanta Hawks and then the 76ers. And you saw what they've done up until this point. So there's an argument that they're the best team. They're their better team. Or at worst, it's equal. So why are we not producing at that level? So, you know, Monty's the perfect person to deliver that message in my mind.
Mm. B, what's good with your brother? What's good with you, man?
What's up, baby? What's up?
My dog.
Hey, first off, like, you guys are just now inviting me. Well, actually, I think you guys invited me.
You were on once before, I think.
Man, that might have been when I was a player or something. I don't know, man. You guys, I should have been on this show 10 times already.
Blame Chris, man.
That's
dog.
We're talking about 8 minutes. What's going on? 8 minute pops. I could call in and give Chris more crap on my way home driving in. Like, are you kidding me?
Hey man, blame Chris. Hey, I need some more help blaming Chris right now. B, keep it a buck, bro.
Be trying to get
No, hold on. Let real talk to real right now, okay?
Right.
Giannis was the MVP. Then he came back and was an MVP and defensive player of the year. Then he threatened to get out. They gave him P.J. Tucker, Drew Holiday. His coach finally start making adjustments. Tell me, B, is this Giannis getting put in better positions where he's not jacking up threes playing one-on-one? Or is this the coaching staff?
Say it like you said it last hour.
Is this the okay?
Is he
the same player?
He said Giannis is the same dang player he was two years ago and against Miami.
Why can't
last
you
year.
Let me ask?
Because you was trying to sugarcoat.
Yeah, but here's the thing: Giannis isn't the same player from the first series of this postseason. You know, look at, and we talked about it today on our show where, you know, think about last series, him jacking up threes and how he was hurting his team. You know, everybody was building that wall and they were, building that wall in the paint and then they were giving him that shot and he was taking them. Now he's not doing that. Now he's picking and choosing, but now he's getting his guys involved. So if you just hone in on just that one thing, you can see that he's not the same player. So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, he's still not shooting the ball well. He's still not great from the free throw line, but he's impacting the game in other ways. Also go back to, you know, how he gets Chris involved. Like, that's different. Like, Giannis's elevation is more on a mindset, man. Like, he could have easily said, I'm the man. I'm going to take control. So there was 40 back-to-back 40-point games. And then Chris Middleton was taken off. He was cold. What did he end up doing, which is counterculture to most superstars? He said, you know what? I'm cold right now. Let me just make sure Chris get in the rhythm and let me ride his wave. So Giannis, man, is next level when it comes to, man, his mindset and his basketball IQ. But Coach Bud is making some adjustments. I know that was a thing last year, just listening to Nick a lot. Nick didn't love how Coach Bud was just stuck you know, in the same old mold. You know, it's right. like, oh, we're only going to play Jonas for 32 minutes a night, and he would not play him extra. You know, so, you know, I think they're both evolving.
Brandon, so hold on. Giannis realized he wasn't that good because that's all I heard, and that he said, I need to pass the ball. That's what you said, B, right?
See what I'm dealing with?
I see what you're dealing with. But here's the thing with Giannis, man, and LeBron has this, but LeBron, you know, he doesn't say it, right? But remember, we crushed LeBron for so long. It's like, yo, you got where's that killer instinct? You're not MJ. Why aren't you taking the last shot? Like LeBron was okay passing the ball.
Right.
Whether it was the last play of the game or just critical moments where it's like, you know, it's time for you to shoot the ball every time. That's what we're accustomed to seeing Kobe doing. We're accustomed to seeing MJ doing. And LeBron wasn't that. Giannis is that, but he's just – you know, he's talking about it. He's like, oh, I don't get too high, I don't get too low. Well, Giannis, do you think the playoffs, the postseason is going to be different? I don't know. I can't control that. Like, what? What are you talking about, Giannis? That's not what a superstar is supposed to say. So, you know, what? I just think he
– go ahead. You're not all the way sold is what I heard.
No, I'm sold on Giannis. I am sold on Giannis. Here's what I was saying.
He needs to play to his strengths like he's been doing.
Yep, and you've been talking about that a lot, Chris. But here's my thing: is next year, I don't think this team is good enough. Like this is the perfect situation. Just like last year was the perfect situation with LeBron James and the Lakers. You know, LeBron and his leadership getting his team through the bubble and the entire pandemic. It took leadership. That you look in football, the Tampa Bay Bucks, that leadership from Bruce Arians, the leadership from Tom Brady. They were the ones that was able to stand, that was left standing at the end of the year. So now you look at this year, perfect situation, so many guys down, right? And so next year, that's going to be different, man. Like, Philly's going to be better.
You ain't got to mention the Nets being healthy. We know the team you pointing to, and that's Brooklyn.
Right.
All right, so I'm going to ask – yes, we got 2 minutes. I'm going to ask you this. Because we were talking about Kevin Durant earlier. He was on social media kind of big up in his championships with Golden State. Do you – and, you know, people kind of – yeah, they give him love. He's a great player. He won those championships. But, you know, they put like a little mental asterisk on him because the team was so great without him. Do you think him winning it with Brooklyn next year, if they're healthy, does that get that asterisk off of him? You know, that people say, yes, he's awesome, but he's always had these stacked teams. Do you think that'll do it next year or it'll still be there?
That's a tough one because his team is still stacked. But I think,
yes.
You know, whenever you can do it in multiple cities and you do it on a different team, it definitely changes the conversation. It almost feels similar to Kobe, right? Kobe doing it without Shaq. Man, it's going to be hard, man, because they still have James Harden, they still have Kyrie. Like, there's no team in the NBA that's going to beat them if that team is healthy. We saw that in a small sample size, 8 games. We saw that. So I don't know if it does, Chris. It's going to be an interesting conversation next year because there's still a stacked team, but it's his team. You know what I mean? So, you know, it may help out a little bit.
So Giannis is fortunate. Hold on. So Giannis is very fortunate is what I'm hearing, B.
Yes.
You don't believe in him, Giannis stuff.
Listen, every year is different. Every year is different. It's like who's going to take advantage of the opportunity? It's a war of attrition. Like this is what comes with pro sports. You never know. Next year it could be the same situation. But when you look at that team compared to, you know, the Nets or even a healthier LeBron James team, like, come on, man. Like, even if the outcome would be different. Even the Suns. If the Suns are fortunate to be in this situation, now they're good.
So Giannis is more of a wide receiver than a dominant quarterback. LeBron's a dominant quarterback. Giannis is a dominant wide receiver who needs pieces around him is what you're saying.
I see you look at you. You trying to get me.
He's obsessed with Giannis.
Look.
You hear this.
I hear him. No, man.
That's my dog, man.
But come on, man. Like, come on. Like, look at his big three compared to.
Right. He's doing it without another superstar.
Right. Or LeBron James got AD. Right. Come on, man. You know, now, who would have thought that Chris Middleton would step up? I mean, what is he averaging? 25 or 28 points in this? In his finals,
he's doing work, but he has been inconsistent too. Yeah, you know, he's played well the last few games, but
that's right.
Yo, we got to run, brother. Hey. I'm up against it, but yo, so I appreciate the time.
You invite me once in a year, and then you only give me 8 minutes, man.
We gonna get you on for a lead. We gonna get you on.
Stop
for a
saying
lead,
we like I have a chance. I have a say in this, Chris. I have no say. This is all you.
I'm gonna talk to the higher ups and start flexing my muscle. I'm gonna talk to the higher ups and start flexing my muscle. All right, brother. I'll see you in the morning, man.
All right, baby.
That is the great Brandon Marshall, co-host of.